This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Less than 3 days until Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris waking up in battleground Wisconsin, saying this morning that if elected, she would submit a package of proposals to bring down costs.
So, for example, housing. What we need to do in terms of creating a tax benefit for folks who want home ownership, what we're going to do to create a $25,000 down payment assistance plan, what we're going to do for small businesses.
Heated rhetoric from former President Trump predicting dire consequences if he loses and Kamala Harris becomes president.
She will get overwhelmed, she will melt down, and millions of people will die with her stupidity.
As of today, over 70 million Americans have voted early, that according to the University of Florida Election Lab. A jury finding Louisville, Kentucky ex-officer Brett Hankison guilty of violating Breonna Taylor's civil rights. She was killed during a botched 2020 raid. This is ABC News. South Carolina executed a man Friday evening. Richard Moore was put to death by lethal injection for the 1999 fatal shooting of a convenience store clerk. Moore went into the store unarmed, took a gun from the victim when it was pointed at him, and shot James Mahoney in the chest as the victim shot him in the arm with a second gun. Christy Shane is with the South Carolina Department of Corrections. She read Moore's last statement to journalists after the execution.
To the family of Mr. James Mahoney, I am deeply sorry for the pain and sorrow I caused you all. To my children and granddaughters, I love you and I am so proud of you.
Now, the execution proceeded despite appeals for mercy from several people, including three jurors and the judge from his trial, a former prison director and pastors. State of emergency, the mayor of Orlando ordering a curfew, limiting alcohol sales for downtown. This after a fatal mass shooting on Halloween, a teenage suspect now facing multiple murder charges. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook Pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me. Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best co-workers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. One thing that's not a top headline in this election is our national park system. But conservationists want you to think about it when you fill out your ballot. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The National Parks Action Fund scorecard tallies the voting records for U.S. House members on bills about park funding, endangered species, and oil and gas development in and around parks. In Wisconsin's delegation, all six Republican House members got failing grades on the scorecard, and the two Democrats got A's. Kristen Brengel with the National Parks Action Fund says they're not trying to pick on members of Congress, but hope the scrutiny will help to change some votes moving forward.
This is just part of our value system. Do we love these places? Do we want to take care of them? Do we want to make sure they have adequate park rangers in them? And this vote is just a direct way to tell whether or not your member of Congress cares about the future of our national parks.
Overall, Brengel says more House members received Fs than As, in part because last year the House voted to cut funding for national parks by 13%. The scorecard is online at nationalparksaction.org. John Anfinson, a retired superintendent for the National Park Service, says keeping the park system in good shape should be a bipartisan priority.
For every dollar America puts into national parks, they get about $15 back. It's a money generator for America. So I think it's a positive thing to fund national parks. It brings money back instead of taking money away.
Even without a national park, the national scenic trails and other lands managed by the Park Service here in Wisconsin contributed more than $64 million in visitor spending last year to the state's economy and support over 900 jobs. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 50s. Tonight, some showers and lows in the mid-40s. Showers and a high near 59 for Sunday, some heavy rainfall possible. Showers and windy for Sunday night, a low around 50 degrees. For Monday, showers and storms, 66.
Currently, 46 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University will be here to break down the latest polls, and we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisconsin, Joel Clayfish, live from Vinaros, España. That's Spain, for everyone else who doesn't know what España is. I aspire to know España. Danielle Fairman, my trusty sidekick, is in the studio, and covering duties for me on the side is Ellie Mae Smoller. What's going on, ladies?
Hello, man from the future. It's crazy to think that you're already at Wednesday and we're still in the past on Tuesday right now. But when everybody hear this, they're in the future on Saturday at 11 o'clock.
I'm going to use this opportunity to brush up on my Spanish.
Okay. Well, be careful what you wish for, because I have to put some disclaimers out there. First of all, sound quality is probably not what you guys are used to listening to us on Raised in Wisco, but we'd love you joining us because I am literally broadcasting from Spain, and technology allows us to do that, which is so exciting and awesome. But I also have to apologize because I have about 2 hours of sleep in me for the last 48 hours. I'm totally jet lagged. I've got my brand new European hunting hat on, which is a little Indiana Jones-ish.
It is definitely. Like,
it is very Indiana Jones-ish.
You're going to be in a cave later for sure.
I put it on and I thought, wow, I look like a garden gnome.
Now I want an Indiana Jones garden gnome.
Yes. We're ordering that tonight on Amazon.
Dr. Jones.
Gnome Jones. Well,
Dr. Gnomes. So I have to tell you, it is so insane going to another country to start a hunting expedition. And we were staying in Vinaros, Spain. So we flew from the United States into Barcelona. But here, there was a king ages ago, early on in Barcelona, who had a lisp. He spoke with a lisp. So he would say the word Barcelona, Barcelona. And in this entire region, I'm not even joking about this, everything that's got an S sound has a TH sound to it now. So it's gracias, Barcelona. And it's crazy. In the Spanish that I learned, the little Spanish that I know and the little conversational Spanish I know, I learned in California. And I spoke it with many folks who were from Mexico. So it's kind of Mexican Spanish. And it is totally and completely different than regular Spanish. But I think Ellie Mae Smoller, who's filling in the co-host seat while Danielle runs the ship for back home, you speak Spanish, do you not?
Oh, not much anymore. I took 4 years of Spanish. I used to be able to pretty fluently speak it, but now I've not practiced it in years. I don't have a lot of people to practice with here in Wisconsin.
I feel like you two can practice right now.
Oh, this is very terrifying.
I can say cerveza on this pretty much right now.
Muy bien.
And you know what's crazy? Because I'm here with Jonathan. He's a good friend of mine.
Oh, he's a good guy.
This is his first time. Yeah, Danielle, you know him very well. You've hunted with him out at his place. And he's a great guy. But this is his first time ever in Europe. And I think it is kind of like culture shock to him because everything in Europe is very small. And
very small?
Very small.
Like, talking about food, small chairs, portion sizes, and
food.
Listen, let me just say, I think earlier tonight I got stuck in the bathroom.
In the doorway or like
in the bathroom? I think I could not shimmy my way out of the bathroom. Everything is so tiny here. They have tiny waste baskets, tiny portions, tiny people. All the people are thin and fit.
You're basically a Polly Pocket Indiana Jones.
it's Polly Pocket world over here. But the people are very, very nice, or at least I think they are. But I think I've
you can't tell what they're saying anyway.
I can't tell. They speak so fast. My most familiar thing that I say to people is demasiado, por favor, which means slow down, please.
Oh, no.
When I will, and we're in an area, Vinaros, if you're in the bigger cities, a lot more people speak English regularly. But if you get into the smaller cities, and Vinaros is a very historic city in all of Spain, and it's just absolutely beautiful. The church is built from the 13th and 12th century, and so it's cool. On the coast of Spain. You go down the Baltic Sea to get here. We took a train. And it was just so incredible. And the people are very kind, or at least I think they are. They could have a smile on their face and be saying, this guy is such an a-hole. And I'd be like, thank you. Gracias. Gracias. Thank you for calling me an a-hole.
I feel like Joel Clayfish, when you go on hunts out of states and everything, you always go to some historic place. Like, you make it not only a hunting trip, but you make it something to remember by going back into history and learning about the past and why it's there now. And I admire you for that. And I want to do that, but I'm not there yet. One day. Well,
you one day, Danielle.
Danielle, you are going to South Africa.
I know. That's so cool. I'm so jealous.
And that is such an incredibly historic part of the world. And so many of the tribes in South Africa and the kind people, you can immerse yourself in that culture there. And it's incredible. But I think this goes back to one of the tenets of Raised in Wisco. Raised in Wisco is not a show about just killing animals or harvesting, you know, catching and killing and eating fish. Or animals. It's a show about culture. It's a show about Wisconsin and the wonderful things throughout the state and experiencing those things. To me, the experience of going somewhere to hunt is just as much about the culture of the area you're hunting.
Absolutely.
And the people who live there and the food and the culinary aspects of it as it is actually about the hunt and about killing an animal or killing, you know. I brought my lederhosen with me on this trip. I really did. And I know
it'll go well with the hat.
Lederhosen is not necessarily like a Spanish tradition, but it is a European tradition to hunt in lederhosen and a wool hat and have this respect for an animal. And you know what? Another bizarre thing is they don't really wear camouflage here. They do not wear camouflage because that is giving the hunter too much of an advantage over the potential animals that they're hunting. So they give out of respect. They want it to be a fair chase, fair game kind of thing. And they wear goofy hats like the one I bought. I actually bought two hats. A little later in the show, I'm going to wear one of the other hats.
Ooh, outfit change.
So that you
perfect.
Can see. It really looks goofy on me. So you'll get to see how goofy it looks, but it's a very traditional golfer's hat.
Do you think that we should start bringing back that kind of mentality when we should not wear camouflage over here as much? Do you like that over there? Do you think it's a challenge over there or different? How do you feel about it?
I think that it's just, there are different ways to look at hunting no matter where you're hunting. There are even different ways that people look at hunting throughout the United States. There mm-hmm. are areas that it is against the law to bait, for yep. example. There are, you know, throughout the states, there are some areas that say you can't, you know, shoot a duck before 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. Because it's too advantageous at that point because the ducks, you know, don't have any chance to see you when they're flying in that early. So I think this is something that, in my personal belief, and this is the beauty of being a hunter and being a gatherer, you can fashion your beliefs around what you feel is right. And for me, in this area, I feel that yielding to what the culture of the place you're hunting is kind of the best way to do it.
Absolutely.
But I will say, in Europe and throughout many parts in Europe, they do the last meal for the animal, where they put the some of what the animal forages in its mouth for photographs of that of that animal to pay respect to it, and then you put a sprig of it in your hat. In a hat just like the one I'm wearing, which yep. looks a little Indiana Jones-ish. And you do that to honor the animal that you have harvested. And you also do that, I found out, because they don't brag about the hunt when you come back. You don't tell people what you killed. They see that sprig in your hat and know that you had a successful harvest, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. Do you, when you go overseas to some place like that that has that kind of tradition, do you think that people look at you differently, the outfitters, like saying, oh, well, this is someone from America, so they're going to be hunting differently or have a different respect for the animal? Do you ever feel that? Because not going to lie, I kind of worried about going over to South Africa because I don't know how they view us Americans back mm-hmm. here. Like, do they think that we brag, I guess you could say?
Or disrespectful?
Is it disrespectful posting pictures all over social media saying mm-hmm. we harvested a awesome goose or speckle yeah. belly or anything like that?
Wow, that is a really awesome question, Danielle. I hadn't thought about it. And, you know, one of the cool things about Raised in Wisco, which, by the way, we love you having you along, and we love talking about these issues with you. Sometimes we get a little serious on the show, and a lot of times it's very light and very fun. But I think contemplating these kind of ethical and moral issues that affect hunters is really important. And I think you mm-hmm. bring something up, Danielle, that's really important. And that is that people everywhere have preconceived notions, but then there are those who don't allow their preconceived notions to prejudge people.
Yep.
I will say that what we can do is have the most respect for the culture we're invading. And I don't mean invading literally. I mean the culture we're going to be a part of to hunt something. And it has been very different for me. It was different in Austria than it was in France, than it was in South Africa. And all we can do, the best way we can represent the United States and represent, you know, harvesting is, number one, as I believe, utilize the animal you kill.
Absolutely.
Eat it. Make food mm-hmm. from it. And you know that there's nothing that I kill, even in foreign countries, that I am not eating.
Food is your favorite dish.
Food's my favorite dish.
I do. When you're in...
Well, I think it is. Although I both of you end up a lot more fit after you eat as much food as I do. But I don't know. I think maybe my age is just showing. It just seems to find my waistline a lot easier. I honestly think that it's up to us as Americans who travel other places to make sure we are respectful of the culture we're participating in. And I think it comes back to us, and we have this chance mm-hmm. for other cultures to say, these Americans coming here hunting and participating with us is a really good thing. I can't
yes.
wait to tell you about tonight's recipe. It's unbelievable. It has to do with sea deer. We're gonna move our Wisco week, daily Wisco, into the next segment, and it's gonna be great. I'm in Spain. Danielle's in the studio. Allie Smoller's in the studio. This is Raised in Wisco, Spain edition.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Social Security is the backbone of the American retirement system. Yeah, 401ks and IRAs are very important, and yes, I talk about them a lot, and I definitely want you to have them. But Social Security supports most Americans in retirement and is an essential lifeline for tens of millions more. I love Social Security because it is so simple. You work hard, you pay in, and then you get your money back when you need it to make your golden years better. There's a conservative agenda out right now that's going to add between $7.5 and $15 trillion to the national debt. Ballooning national debt is, I think, the biggest threat to Social Security that there is. We want less national debt and a better funded Social Security program. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, I remember that summer, the green Van Dyke, the rodeo show neath the Idaho.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco, Spain edition. Spain edition. Meaning Joel Clayfish is in the future. He is the future man right now. He is at 2 o'clock in the morning in Spain with us on Raised in Wisco. Thank you everyone for joining. So we ended the conversation talking about the ethics of hunters, especially overseas. And as Joel was saying, that it's pretty great to represent yourself, not only in the States, but out of States too. But not that I'm aware, because I don't hunt overseas, but I don't think anybody has a bad conception of us Americans, because we do respect our animals. We just respect them by not putting a sprig of what their last meal was. But I actually kind of like that tradition. Do you think you would bring that back here on your next hunt, Joel?
I have to tell you, what's absolutely crazy is I had a hunt in Texas last week, and we'll get to that too, because I took my son-in-law Gabe, my brand new son-in-law, hunting his first big game animal of his life last week in Texas. And actually my wife said, you should put, you know, the last bite in the mouth of the animals that you harvest and start, you know, doing that in the United States. Because when people ask you why you do that, it's a really cool thing. You know, we were talking about in Europe, in many countries in Europe, when you harvest an animal, you put a sprig of what they eat in their mouth as an homage to them, their last bite, their last meal. And then you put a sprig of it in your hat. And that brings me to the fact that I'm wearing what I consider kind of a goofy hat right now. It's a European hunting hat.
We consider it goofy too.
Thank you, Ellie. I appreciate that. It's a European hunting hat. I went to a European hunting store today, and I'm just so happy that I can do these experiences and share them on Raised in Wisco with all the folks who come up to me. And I want to say thank you to everybody who listens to Raised in Wisco every Saturday at 11 o'clock on all your Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin. I am starting to have people come up to me in the public and say, I listened to Raised in Wisco. That was so funny. I have to be honest, and Danielle, 90% of the time it's, oh my gosh, Danielle is so funny. And I don't know.
I know. She get it from her mama.
I agree. She is funny. She's fun to listen to.
She's funny. No. And I hope you take the same attitude I do, Danielle. I don't care if someone's laughing with me or at me, as long as they're laughing, because I can make fun of myself.
Yep. I'm put on this earth to make people smile. Like you said, either at me or with me.
And that is certainly something that is a credo that I have in life, which is, if you have the opportunity to make anybody's life even slightly better, you have an obligation to do so. And that is kind of what Raised in Wisco is about. We talk to you about the opportunities in Wisconsin to get outdoors, to harvest your own food, to bring it to the table. Every week we've got a fantastic recipe, and I can't wait to share the recipe with the folks this week. It's fantastic. Ellie Mae Smoller, who is sitting in the guest host co-host spot today, we have really started to talk together about food. You are, I feel like, almost as much of a foodie as me. I know Danielle loves food.
I'm pretty obsessed with food. Like, I don't know how else to say it.
I'm obsessed with food too, but you've started to get creative with wild game as well. And you come up with some crazy stuff that I'd never even think of.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole fun of it. You know, I look at recipe books all the time, look online for recipe inspiration, and I'm all about jamming a whole bunch of recipes together. I measure with my heart. I swap out proteins. I think it's the fun part of cooking, just experimenting, kind of like a scientist in a kitchen.
See, when you talk like that, that stresses me out so bad. If I have the ingredients in my cabinet or in my fridge, I'm texting my neighbors. I'm texting somebody. I'm going to the store. I'm like, I need heavy cream. I don't know what to do. What do I do if I don't have heavy cream?
Improvise.
I have to make a whole new recipe now. Cooking stresses me out, so I have to say thank you to you, Ellie, and to you, Joel, for both feeding me really good food. I'm definitely getting the benefits of this.
Well, let me tell you something, Danielle. Cooking stresses everybody out to a certain degree, and that is part of kind of what the joy of overcoming it is. Anything good in life is not gained without a little bit of stress, right? That's a fact. And uncomfortability. You know, you are going to South Africa for the first time in your life. You're going out of the country to go on a hunting trip. You're going to be nervous. You're not going to know the culture. You're going to worry about the things you say and the things you do and how you act and
what you're
going to
eat.
No, I'm not worried about that.
No, don't worry about that. The food's amazing. Johnny Fetty Safaris is unbelievable. You're gonna worry about how you represent yourself, how you represent Raised in Wisco, you represent the United States of America. And part of cooking, and I don't want to over exaggerate this, but cooking is very similar to accomplishing just about anything in life. So I want to challenge you, because I will do this. I will get the protein out first. I will thaw the goose breast, the duck breast, the venison, the sika deer, the alligator. And then I will try to make something with what I have in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So don't pull the recipe up first. Pull out the meat, thaw the meat, because then you're on a time clock. Once you have that meat thawed, you've only got a few days either in the fridge or that day to make it. See what you've got and start thinking to yourself, what flavors of what do I eat that I like that might be good using this protein in it? Instead
cumin.
Of
I
saying
love cumin.
Yourself.
Cumin. So you want to make some tacos.
Okay. Well, you're quite a human being.
Oh,
there it is.
Is that the dad joke?
The count was low. The dad jokes have officially started.
That was a good one.
That was cute.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think it's the hat.
Well, you know, cumin is often used in Mexican food, and it is sometimes used in Spanish food. I am in Spain, coming to you from Spain. Danielle Fairman is in the studio with Ellie Mae Smoller. And what a blast we have. And we really appreciate taking you folks as listeners along on the ride with us. Jess, I have to say, is running the ship back there. And I know that kind of some of her first experiences, not her very first, but have been with eating some of the wild game that we have brought in. And I think Jess, I'd like to poke you, and I'd like to ask you, how has your experience been so far? And has it made you more likely to eat wild game or less likely?
Oh, certainly more likely. Especially, I mean, if you're bringing me food, oh man, just do that every time.
Well, that's awesome. That makes me very happy, because I think we should really try to start bringing food in every week. I think we should have something to talk about. We do talk about recipes every single week. We still got our weekly Wisco to go, and I have a really great one. Go ahead.
I'm going to start something new when I cook. WWJKD. I'll tell you what it is when we come back.
WWJKD. This is Raised in Wisco recipes. Wisco Week. New hunters. New food.
Mountain girl, did you roll out to the Cap Rock City? If Idaho Falls can't hold you, I don't know what would. We'll see you now.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Less than 3 days until Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris waking up in battleground Wisconsin, saying this morning that if elected, she would submit a package of proposals to bring down costs.
So, for example, housing, what we need to do in terms of creating a tax benefit for folks who want home ownership, what we're going to do to create a $25,000 down payment assistance plan, what we're going to do for small businesses.
Heated rhetoric from former President Trump predicting dire consequences if he loses and Kamala Harris becomes president.
She will get overwhelmed, she will melt down, and millions of people will die with her stupidity.
As of today, over 70 million Americans have voted early, that according to the University of Florida Election Lab. A jury finding Louisville, Kentucky ex-officer Brett Hankison guilty of violating Breonna Taylor's civil rights. She was killed during a botched 2020 raid. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the Packers and the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The top two teams in the North Division meet tomorrow. Green Bay against the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field. Showers expected. It looks like Jordan Love will be able to play, but his center, Josh Myers, who has a severe left wrist injury, is listed as doubtful.
I think the big thing for me is I just got to make sure I'm not going to hurt the team by playing, so I just have to answer that question.
Kickoff at 3:25. Baseball, the Brewers are getting Rhys Hoskins back. The 31-year-old first baseman will earn $18 million and says after leaving the Phillies, the Brewers were always at the top of his list.
Milwaukee was always a great paper fit, as I can stand back and kind of take a 10,000-foot view of baseball itself and where I may fit in that as an athlete and as a competitor. So I'm glad we're able to kind of get the nitty-gritty and all the details done just because it's such a great fit.
That's the Brewers' Rhys Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 50s. Tonight, some showers and lows in the mid 40s. Showers and a high near 59 for Sunday. Some heavy rainfall possible. Showers and windy for Sunday night, a low around 50 degrees. For Monday, showers and storms, 66.
It's 48 at our studios.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
With hey, makeup. Do I rate?
You absolutely, I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from our Madison studio, where I welcome King of the Hill and Futurama TV writer Mike Rowe and musician Eric Gelland from Mascot Theory joins me in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
In Wisco, Spain edition. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. My co-host, Danielle Fairman, is back in the studio. I am live in Vinaros, Spain, just on the coast from Barcelona. We're out here. We're going to be hunting Beseti Ibex in about 3 or 4 days. I'm extremely excited about that in the mountains. This is one of those events that I will either make it through and it will be one of the greatest experiences of my life, or I will die trying, because we're going to be up at about 5,000 to 7,000 to 8,000 feet above sea level. Ooh. And the air gets a little thin up there. My knees get a little weak. My hips hurt. Arthritis sets in and it's tough to breathe. Anything else?
You make it sound so lovely.
I'm turning into my mother.
And you haven't slept.
Mom, how's it going? Well, I got this ache over here. I haven't slept. I'm jet lagged. Is it that? Is it obvious, you guys, that I'm jet lagged?
No,
you're hiding it well.
From, you know, the jet lag.
The hat. Are you going to go back to the hat, Jen?
See, we like this hat.
I like
now.
This hat. Yeah, we all agree we like
so
this hat.
So this hat really matches your outfit.
Yes.
For everybody listening, please go to Facebook or on YouTube, and you can watch what we're watching. Joel is live in Spain, but we have a hat chronologue.
We have a hat outfit.
What
change?
Is it? What's that word I'm talking about? Chronologue? I don't know.
Maybe. That's the word. We have a progression of hats.
Yeah, we have every segment we're on, Joel puts on a new hat. And this is actually really entertaining for us because it is different types of hats.
Danielle and I are bummed out. We did not bring hat changes.
I know. We need outfit changes.
We talked about changing our flannels.
So the first hat
was... Are you wearing flannels? Oh, yeah.
We both have flannels on.
That is very Wisconsin.
It is very Wisconsin.
You know, I love when we talk about, you know, submersing ourselves in different cultures. And that happens even in Wisconsin as you go from place to place. The south side of Milwaukee is very different than Superior, very different than Minocqua, Door County, Racine area.
And you betcha.
One of the things that's really cool that I love to do when I go to another country is honor their traditions. I like to wear the type of hunting clothing that they're wearing. I actually brought my lederhosen and I have my European hunting hats. But I also, one of the cool things to do is to bring hats or clothing that is very specifically American, because I like... Some people are like, oh, they're going to know you're an American. And I couldn't be more proud of
that.
Yeah,
you welcome.
That's pretty great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's pretty great, too. So I like to wear my hats, you know, from the Foul Life or my Raised in Wisco hat that I have. I will wear those so people will ask about them. Now, I have to tell you, I'm in Vinaros, Spain. It's not in Barcelona. It is very, it's small by standards of, you know, Barcelona and Madrid. It's only got about 50,000 people in this city, but there's also tourists. But the tourists here are from Europe. The vast majority of them are from other parts of Spain and Europe. This is kind of like maybe like a Wisconsin Dells place in Wisconsin. So there's a lot of Wisconsinites and Illinoisans. So there's Portuguese and Spanish here, but they do not speak English here. Like people do not speak English here. And it is helping me realize how absolutely horrible my Spanish is that I thought was so great.
I thought it was
first
great, too.
First of all, well, thank you. Yes, but
mine's pretty bad, though.
I can assure you it is not great, because what I ordered, today at the restaurant, I thought I was ordering, like, fried cuttlefish, and it ended up being like goose liver pate.
Oh,
and it came to the table,
the
and
world?
I looked at it, and my friend Jonathan, who's along, who is his first time in Europe, you know, he's not used to the tininess of everything and the little tucked in corners and the regional food, which I'll be honest, if you're not used to that, it takes a little getting used to. It really does. I love all food. Food is my favorite dish, so I did not have a problem with it. at all. But, you know, poor John comes along and then I order something that I think we're both going to like. And it ends up being something that's completely wrong. And I'm thinking, my Spanish is horrible. And I can't tell you how many times I've said to people in the last 24 hours, habla inglés? ¿Usted habla inglés usted? And then they shake their head, no, they don't. And I think, oh, no, here we go. The guessing game starts. And I think that's what happened, because I went to a hunting store in Spain, in Benaros, Spain, and literally ended up leaving with a shirt that didn't fit and two hats, and one of them's ugly.
Sounds like a fun, Jolie. It's adorable.
And the funny thing is, you know, you think to yourself, do they, you know, oh, he was trying to just get you to buy things. That is not the attitude in Europe. It's very casual, very slow paced. Everything is relaxing. They have 3-hour breaks at lunch. You go to a store when it's supposed to be open between 11 and 3. There's a very large chance the doors will not even be open.
That sounds lovely.
Yes, it does.
The median income is like $30,000 a year, which translates to about 25,000 euros a year. And they enjoy life. They focus on the enjoyment of life. Sure, they do their jobs. But you go, I had the most unbelievable cafe con leche. So it's basically a latte, right? It was the most delicious, unbelievable latte I think I've ever had. And it was €1.50. And that would have been a $7, $8 drink at Starbucks.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, easily.
And so at least you ordered the right coffee drink. That would have been horrible. Priorities.
Right coffee drink. I was excited about that. And man, it's just incredible. You go into a store and they just let you look forever. You go into a restaurant, they sit forever. You have to ask for the check or they will not bring it, because they expect you to just sit and enjoy and sip your coffee and have another coffee and then maybe order. I mean, a lot of them will have a beer or a glass of wine at lunch. I mean, it's just the culture is just so filled with enjoyment and joy. I think if there's one thing we could bring back to the United States, that's a little bit of enjoying life, stopping to smell the roses, calming down, staying off of our phones. You look around a cafe in Spain, nobody's on their phone.
That's
and they're
incredible.
Just enjoying life. I'm sitting here ticking away, looking at emails every 10 minutes, and they're relaxing. And they kind of look at you like, well, too bad you can't enjoy life the way I do. So that is something that I definitely try to do. And, at, you know, when I was at the store trying on the European hunting hats, and I got it, it's so funny. I said, I really like this shirt. And the guy says, he says something to me in Spanish, which probably meant, we have it in different sizes. That's what I think it meant. And he's looking at me and I said, XL. And he shakes his finger at me. No. I said, no, XL. Mira, aquí, look. I'm saying, look at my tag on my shirt, XL. No. He prints out a shirt. That's a 3XL.
Oh, no.
And I put the thing on. And my man boobs are sticking out. It's tight on me.
Oh, my goodness. So you have a nightgown.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, sizing here is sure embarrassing.
Oh my goodness. I would have been mortified. I'm like, no,
4X,
I'm out.
Please.
Oh no.
Oh wow.
But that's even true here. Everywhere you go is completely different sizes. I'm a size 4 in some pants and size 12 in others. I'm like, well, this is fun. I like this. This is a fun guessing game.
I think when they're assigning sizes, they just pull numbers out of a hat.
Yep, I think so too. Yeah. There's nothing true to size. Nope. No, thank you.
Joel, is that when you panic bought the ugly hat?
Well, that's when I was like, I'll take the hat. I'm sure that doesn't fit. I'll take them all. Oh my gosh. But I left and I thought, well, I can put the shirt on under a vest. I love wearing vests, right? Vests are trimming. They keep you warm, but you can still flex your arms. They're great for hunting and doing
t-shirts
stuff.
Do not go underneath vests. Do you think they
no.
do?
Well,
no.
Okay.
Certainly not.
Long sleeve. Yes, certainly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a pet peeve of mine, wearing a short sleeve shirt with a vest. I just think it looks goofy.
Yeah, same. Don't
this
do
is
that.
Your fashion notice from Race and Wisco. Please do not do that.
I won't do that. In fact, we got to get to our weekly Wisco. I'll go off the top of the bat here and say my weekly Wisco actually was the one day that I was back between Texas and Wisconsin. I took Jessica Thielen turkey hunting. We were turkey hunting together, and out from behind us came this one turkey, poked his head out, and I talked about it this week. But the reason I wanted to bring it back up again is because Jessica had never hunted anything before in her life, and she purchased a shotgun for herself, and we breasted out the bird, and she's literally sending me back and forth potential recipes, and she's all excited about cooking this bird. And to have somebody who is so sold on it so quickly, there is really nothing more exciting to me. And that's why on Raised in Wisco, we want to share with you what it's like to get in the outdoors and to experience the outdoors and bringing it to the table. And I also had this incredible week of hooking two brand new hunters. I took my new son-in-law, Gabe, Hannah, my daughter Ella Rose's husband out in Texas, and he shot his first big game animal of his life. One pop, one flop, perfect shot, beautiful shot, 120 yards. He thread the needle through a bunch of thorn buck, and he was so excited. He was absolutely hooked. He is hooked for life.
Yeah.
He loves it. He lives in Texas, and that was just incredible. And I cannot wait to tell you guys about what we ended up making with the deer that we harvested in Texas. That was phenomenal too. So that was my weekly Wisco. It's kind of a combination of Wisconsin, Texas, but getting two new hunters hooked, I don't know that it gets better than that.
Oh, it definitely does not get it better than that. My weekly Wisco is not as exciting as that, because my weekly Wisco was a solo Wisco, which is good within itself.
That
not
is
going
good,
to lie.
Though, Danielle.
Don't have to sell it, Danielle, because some of the stuff that you have the guts to go do yourself blows my mind.
So this year, as everybody knows, I have a new boyfriend, Josh Belsky.
No.
We love Josh.
We love Josh.
His name Josh? Oh, God, I can't even... Really?
I thought it was Jack. Jack. It was one of the J's. I don't know.
No,
the
you
dude.
Didn't
the dude with the face. but one thing.
Nice guy, by the way.
Super nice.
One great thing about him is that he definitely encourages me to go out there and just to do it, because, not going to lie, I have hunted for about a dozen years now, but it was always majority of the time with somebody. And I am trying this year a lot of solo things, to learning that the things that I have done, that I do understand and know what's going on and how to reposition and what to look for. So this year is my first year solo hunting, deer hunting, I'm going to say.
It's awesome, Danielle.
Setting up my own tree stands, cameras, food plots, like doing the whole dang thing all by myself.
Solo is good for
YouTube,
the soul.
And YouTube, not going to lie. And
it's a great resource.
And it's been wonderful. I saw a couple doe. There's a couple bucks on camera. So I'm hoping with the rut coming up that I will be able to harvest my first official buck. And I say official because the buck that I shot last time I made into earrings. That's how big the antlers were.
I definitely utilized
every part of the
antlers. It's still beautiful.
Yep. But that is my weekly Wisco, is that it is now pre-rut, so I'm going to be out there deer hunting for the next couple times. So if my weekly Wisco next week is just as, you know, uneventful but good eventful, I'm not going to be ashamed, because maybe next week I'll get that buck.
I think you're going to actually. You're going to do it.
New moon is starting on Monday, and we have the red moon coming up, so I'm hoping that's going to be good. But when we come back, we'll talk with Ellie about her weekly Wisco.
Oh, yeah.
And the recipes.
It's going to be awesome. This is Raised in Wisco. We love having you along.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Neighbor pulls at the moor, looks like he's punching in real wine. The Springer's nice, but I squint my eyes from the sun. Things
hola, todas las personas a el radio. Let's go.
That's all this I can do.
That's pretty good, Danielle. Wow. You can really roll it.
I'm with Senorita Danielle and Senora
hola.
Ellie Mace Moore.
I don't like that.
I am coming to you. Well, that's how you pronounce it in Spanish, Ellie. Ellie
gracias.
Would be gracias. In Barcelona, Spain, España. I'm coming to you live from Vinaros, Spain, and Danielle is in the studio. This is Raised in Wisco. Folks, don't forget to vote. It's coming up real quick here. And the people you vote for affect your daily life, whether you realize it or not. It's an important decision to make sure your voice is heard. Get out there and vote. Raised in Wisco is one of those shows that helps you, we hope, to enjoy the outdoors and to make Wisconsin a priority for you in your outdoor activities, in your eating habits, and your culinary delights. Which brings me to this week's recipe.
Ooh.
Ready? This one
ready.
Is so easy, and it goes along with not always ooh. Having what you want for, yes.
Danielle has her hand up.
I'm raising my hand. Before.
Are you raising your hand in
and
Wisco?
Raise in Wisco. I am raising my
hand. Your hand is raised in Wisco.
WWJKD. This is why he is bringing it up during the food part of our segment, the recipe part, WWJKD, because both of you understand food and what you like and how Joel was telling us to just go with it. You know what you like, just do it. You know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. WWJKD, what would Joel Clayfish do?
We're going to make bracelets.
Yep. I feel like I'm in the kitchen, make what would Joel Clayfish do?
Yeah, spice shakers.
I am honored and thrilled by the acronym and you saying what would Joel Clayfish do in that situation. But be careful, because Joel Clayfish is very famous for some very bad decisions. Yeah. Well. And it's also like the what would Jesus do? And good God only knows I should not be compared to the man who walks on water. That is for sure. But
in the kitchen, though, it's
fine.
Of
what we would do in the kitchen, that is an awesome analogy. I love it, Danielle. Thank you so much. This recipe this week goes kind of along with what we were talking about, not always having what you want to have for the recipe and kind of making it out of what you need. So I had a tenderloin backstrap, a venison backstrap. And I thought, what can I make that's different? And I was just like, man, I really could go for spinach pie. If you've ever had that.
Ooh, spinach pie. It's good.
Yeah, spinach pie. And I thought, wait a minute, that's essentially beef Wellington, right? Mm. So I kind of just made it up and I braised the backstrap. Well, first of all, I diced onions and mushrooms. And I didn't have ham or bacon, which is supposed to go in there too. But I just had, I diced onions and mushrooms and I put them into some boiling butter and sizzled them. And then I moved them to the side when they were getting limp, not when they're getting soggy, when they're getting limp before they're soggy. And I braised that tenderloin in the stock, the juice that was created from the onions and mushrooms and butter. I braised it for 3 minutes on each side, and I couldn't find, they didn't have phyllo dough at the little grocery store where I was. So I bought the sheets of that light paper that they use to make the, not spinach pie, but they make the Greek desserts out of it.
Baklava.
Baklava, they make baklava out of it. And they're sheets, and I don't know the exact name of them, but they're kind of like phyllo dough. But they're baking sheets, like phyllo dough. They're in the same section and use them to make baklava. If you guys remember what that's called.
I forget what it's called.
Because I forgot what it was called. But I put 3 sheets that down. I put the back strap in the middle, seared, and I drizzled the sautéed onions and mushrooms over it. Then I put 3 sheets again on top of it. And then I wet my fingers and folded it into the side, egg washed it, and baked it at 400. It took literally start to finish 30 minutes, sliced it open. It was perfect medium rare in the middle with the juice coming out of it with the sautéed onions.
Sounds delicious.
And then I did add some provider seasoning. Add whatever seasoning you want. But it was, I had never thought to myself, make a beef Wellington out of a deer tenderloin. And I didn't have the exact phyllo dough, so I bought those sheets of phyllo dough type dough they sell in the frozen section. And it worked perfectly. It was absolutely to die for. We're going to have the recipe and video on the provider Instagram. So check out the provider Instagram. You'll be able to see it. And it turned out just unbelievably amazing.
That sounds absolutely delicious.
Sounds amazing.
That was my recipe for the week.
I'm super hungry right now.
That does sound very good. I made coffee chocolate cake this weekend.
Oh,
so
that sounds good. Really good too.
Yeah, it was actually delicious.
It sounds delicious. And what? I will tell you that when you are in Spain, as I am right now, I'm so excited. Technology and producer Jess has been able to figure out how to get us to be able to come to you live from Spain. If you go anywhere in the state of Wisconsin, in another of the United States, in a foreign country, make sure the desserts are part of what you try, because
absolutely,
the desserts are so different from area to area. And if you don't know the language, try to order something, because even though I ordered something today and it came back completely different, it was still fantastic. Danielle, what do you got planned for this next week in the outdoors?
This next week in the outdoors, I am headed up north. Over by Kendall to go out deer hunting. So I'm hoping that
we're
going to
get your solo buck.
I'm going to get my solo buck. That is going to be a goal. Putting it out in the universe. Come to me, universe.
I hope it works, because I have yet to harvest a buck with my vertical bow. So how about that, Danielle? Danielle, I have not killed a buck with my vertical bow. And that is something that I would certainly love to do one of these days. I consider myself a diehard hunter, maybe not the best hunter. I love taking new hunters, but I've never killed a buck with my vertical bow. Have you, Ellie?
Yes, sir. A small buck.
A buck's a buck.
I made a promise to myself that I can't buy a new bow until I get a big buck with it.
Oh, well, everybody has their personal things. And to me, everything that's harvested is a trophy.
And delicious.
Remember this. No matter how long you put those horns in the crock pot, they never get tender enough to eat.
But you can make earrings with them.
Yeah. You can make earrings with them. But if I can give one last shout out right here at the end, it's that don't shame people for what they're proud of harvesting. Deer hunting season's in full swing. The rut's in full swing. Enjoy yourself in the Wisconsin outdoors or wherever you may be. I'm in Spain. Going to have stories to tell you next week about Bassetti Ibex. And it's gun deer season coming up. We love you coming back on Raised in Wisco.
Eagle 1490 AM. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will look back at the weekend's news and also preview the election coming up on Tuesday, a special edition. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Progressive presents Employee of the Month. Small Business Edition. Today's recipient from Lucky Larry's Landscaping,
Larry! Larry saved his business money with a quick commercial auto quote from Progressive. Does it help he's his own marketing manager, accountant, executive assistant, and never been late? Technically, yes, but saving really put him over the edge. So, Larry, give Larry a round of applause. Be your own, Larry. See if you could save in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.